Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Indie Review Behind the Scenes, guys. This is the weekend edition, and my name is Michelle Conwell Jordan. I'm one of your hosts, and Jamie White, my co-host, is joining me today as well. And Jamie, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. It's been a good day, so it really has. And guys, really, I have been excited because I'm looking forward to chatting. We're both looking forward to chatting with our guest this evening. We're speaking with author director Yasmin Sheress. Yasmin, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing fine. Really happy to be here.
Well, we're looking forward to chatting with you. I'm just so interested in you wear many hats, and so just very interested on seeing how it all began and how they're all related and just what you're up to. So that will happen just after a brief message, and then we'll jump into it, okay?
All right.
Hi, this is Cecile Monique, and you're listening to Indie Review Behind the Scenes, your source for the hottest in indietainment's news and features.
So, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Okay. Well, everybody, my name is Yasmin Sheress. I'm an author and filmmaker. Right now, my latest book that I have out is called Boil. It is actually a prequel to the book Retaliation. And I write books for young adults as well as urban audiences for adult fiction as well. And I take some of the books and the inspiration behind some of the topics that I write about, and I create films out of the projects as well. So that's what I do.
And I think that is just incredible, and I'm very, very excited, and congratulations on all that you're doing. And I'm not just saying that. I really do. I'm fangirling a little bit here. Let's just start with, how did you find the writing path? Was this a newfound passion for you or a long-term dream? Which came first, the love of telling the stories through video or written word?
Well, what came first was a whole lot of complaining. I started actually writing in diaries, and my first how I started as a writer is that I used to complain a lot about my brother. I have one brother, and I used to complain to my mom and my dad about him. And my mom said, okay, you have another complaint. You need to write it down. And so she gave me a journal when I was like 10 years old, and I started writing in it. And so my first book was actually The Blueprint for My Girls, which I did with Simon Schuster. It was a compilation of my very early journals. And this is a nonfiction book that I wrote, and I was inspired to share those stories because while I owned a hip-hop magazine, young people would come up to me and tell me, like, you know, different ask me questions about, you know, I can't talk to my professor, I'm having trouble with my mom, you know, what am I doing about financial aid? And I would think, like, all the questions that they would ask me, I had already actually gone through and I had written in my journals. And so I actually started writing in my diaries. And when The Blueprint for My Girls came out, and I'm doing this books tour across the country, and I actually spoke at the Essence Festival, then people said, well, what was it like to be a hip-hop journalist? And I was like, oh, my God, I need to write that book. And so my books, I know it's so strange. So I just keep following sort of – I have this go-with-the-flow type of attitude. And so the journaling came easily, and then, you know, writing my hip-hop books came easily. And then when young people would, you know, email me letters who would have read The Blueprint for My Girls, and they would talk about fighting or getting jumped or whatever, that then became the inspiration behind my young adult novel series. So all of my stuff is always, you know, inspired by real life. And then, of course, putting it on video, because I said, hey, I can't be everywhere. What if we can put it on film?
Awesome. Very cool.
So, tell us a little bit about your writing process.
My writing process, as I just shared a little bit, it's very much go with the flow type of thing. So the book Retaliation, for example, I was doing a workshop, a teen empowerment workshop, a Blueprint for My Girls workshop, which you guys know that was my first book. And I was in this room in Washington, D.C., and no girls would talk to me. I was in there about 15 girls, and nobody would talk to me. They all were, like, very angry, looked like they were frustrated. And I said, okay, what do you like? What do you love? What do you hate? And a girl said, raised her hand, and she said, I hate the girls who jump me. At that point, every single person, every young person who would not talk to me threw their hand up and became someone who had a story to tell about violence. And so I went home that, you know, after that was over, and, you know, a couple of days passed, and everywhere I went, whether I was doing my yoga or I was, you know, walking outside, cooking, I would hear, I hate the girls who jump me. And so I sat down and I said, either I'm going to write this story or I'm going to go crazy because people are going to, you know, I got voices in my head. And so I just started literally, you know, 10 to 2. Typically 4 hours a day, I'm pouring into something. Now that I'm doing film, though, I spend some of that time editing and looking at film projects as well. But my writing process is always inspired by, you know, either something that I've gone through, something that I'm, you know, experienced, you know, through working with my teen girls. I go out and I do workshops, things like that. And so that really motivates and inspires my writing process. And then I sit down. I try not to write more than 4 hours at a time because then I burn out a little bit. So hopefully that wasn't too long of an answer.
No, that was perfect.
Okay, from engaging and then sitting down and honoring the people that I come across. You know, I don't believe that you meet people by accident.
Right. So with your books, just tell us a little bit about your newest release. I know you said it was a prequel to Retaliation, and tell us about just, you know, all of your books, you know, the series.
Okay.
A little bit what it's about. I mean, of course, I don't know if they would have spoilers because you said it's, is it nonfiction or what would a reader expect when they open? Is it a narrative? You know, just set it up for us.
Okay.
And there was another question, but I can't even think of it. So,
okay. No. I'll be able to set it up. But what happened, as I shared with you guys, is I was doing this workshop, and all of a sudden, all these young women who 15 years old who would not talk to me, all of a sudden wanted to talk about violence. And so, the first Retaliation book that I wrote was about a teen girl who gets jumped. And everyone in the community wants to retaliate. It's a fiction book, but it's everybody wants to retaliate, but she actually doesn't. So her brother, who's a gang member, he wants to retaliate. Her mom is feisty. She wants to retaliate. The principal is torn between, well, you know, what do we do? How do we pursue these girls who jumped her? What was their motive? And how do we find out what their motive was? And so it really, my fiction books are really, they're very gritty and urban in terms of painting a picture, but it's about, you know, sort of asking that question, why, you know, what would you do in the same position? If somebody jumped you, would you want to retaliate? Would you sick your family on them? You know what I mean? How would you think? So my fiction books for young adults are about, you know, getting a young person in a classroom or in a book club where they can say, oh, where they can argue about, you know what I mean, I would have done this or I would have done that. Really get them thinking and get those critical thinking skills going. But what I wanted to do in the retaliation book, the brother Khalil, he's a former gang member. He's a gang member in the book. And what I wanted to show people in the latest book, Loyal, which is the prequel, is what it was like for Tashira, who's 13 in the prequel, to see her brother, who's 18, become a gang member. Because gang members often talk about loyalty, but when you choose a gang over your family, how does your family see that? How does your little sister see you choosing to be gang-affiliated instead of family-oriented? And so Loyal tells the story in each of their voices, and it opens where he's been shot and left like a crumpled bag of trash at their doorstep. And she's at home waiting for her mother to show up, and she hears a real loud knock on the door. And she looks through the peephole. She doesn't see anybody, but she opens the door, and there her brother lay in a crumpled formation, and he's bleeding from his back. Hmm. I don't want to give any spoilers, but I want to say that when she's trying to press him for who did this to him, you could have died. Why didn't they take you to the ambulance? He had to try to dodge the truth and portray it the way he wanted to portray it. And I think that that was just painting that picture in a way that loyalty is the question. I really want people, I want to see young people in the classroom saying, was he really being loyal to his family or was he being disloyal to his family? I want people to ask that question.
Wow.
So that's, you know, so those are the first books. Yeah, and the third book is a trilogy. Tashira and her boyfriend go off to college, and one of them is falsely accused of something. And so the third book is Accused. And in the Accused book, it really talks about how we use social media so freely. All these photos on Instagram, photos on Facebook, photos on Snapchat. But don't you know, anybody can get into your photo account, start Photoshopping your stuff, and make you look like you were somewhere that you weren't.
Oh, wow.
What if that happens?
That is true.
Because people are so free with it, right? People are free with
it.
I wanted to put out there, what if you were falsely accused of something and social media, in essence, indicted you, tried you, and convicted you? So that's what. So that's the.
Whoa! Now that one touched the nerve.
Okay. Oh man. Oh my goodness.
That was incredible. Wow.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a backstory on Accused, if I may, really quickly.
Go right ahead.
One of the characters is accused of raping a teen girl, and I was raped when I was 14 years old. And I wanted to, again, always put something real from my experiences, because then when I talk to people, I can say, well, this is part of the motivation. And, ladies, when I went to bloggers and I said, hey, guys, I want you guys to help promote this because we have to bring this issue. You have so many rapes on campus going on, because going to college campus, so many women bloggers were saying to me, I can't do it because I also was a victim and I don't want to relive my pain. So it was so interesting that I chose to do a story that I had a personal experience with, but yet when I went to people, their pain was so raw, they couldn't. That talks to how big, you know, people, how large the problem is of sexual assault on campus. When people are in their teens and so forth, that the women out there are still suffering and they're not even getting help. So it really, I mean, that just tore me up. You know what I mean? Not because they couldn't support it, but because I could tell what pain they were in.
Wow. Okay. Now that actually resonates on a different level to me, because my daughter, she just started college. So I just dropped her off like a month ago. And what your books are Amazon? Where are your books located? Because I think it is important Because, you know, as a mom, you can tell, be careful, you know, this is going on, this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's almost, oh, that's mom speaking, that's mom speaking. And they
mm-hmm.
they do need to hear a voice close to their own. Does that, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that one right there, I mean, all of them, I think, you know, you're hitting so many different areas that is real in society, and I think is needed. That one is a personal one for me, so I do want to get your information later. But I'm
okay.
sorry. The second part of my question, really quick, was how long does it take you to write one of your books, start to finish, and it's out the door?
Yeah. Well, you know, Retaliation I wrote in 28 days. I basically was writing 10 pages a day, and it was around, you know, a little less than 280. But then I'll take 2 weeks away from it so that, you know, if any other, you know, idea comes to me or something like that, you know, so then I send it over to the editor. So even my writing process might be a month, but then my editing process may be another month where
okay.
I'm taking it to an editor, you know what I mean? And then I'm reading because I don't just go through one draft and then I, you know, send it over to an editor. I personally go and sort of edit my own work. By the time it goes
right.
to an editor, it's pretty clean, and then, you know, we go from there. So about a month, per book is probably about a month in the writing process.
Wow. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you like to do when you're not writing?
Oh, man. Well, I just recently relocated to Los Angeles to help with my screenwriting and directing career. And out here, I like to hike in the morning. So I start my day. Actually, it's so crazy. I start my day like hiking a mountain out here.
Wow.
So that's something that I like to do. I love a good movie. I love yoga. I'm a big advocate of meditation. I mean, more than people would even realize, like meditation really changes things. If you can sit and just think about being at the most peaceful place for you, like if you like the beach, sit for 5 minutes and imagine that you were in the beach or at the beach, it really changes your mind. So those are things I like. You know, I love going to the beach. That's one of my favorite places. So I love to travel as well. I love to travel, you know. So traveling, hiking, and to get back to the point with the on the college piece, you know, a lot of times writers, and if you have any people who are listening who are writers or aspiring authors, a lot of times people are afraid to tell their stories. And they're afraid to, you know, oh, I have a book idea, but I'm afraid nobody will, you know, do it or will read it. And I just want to encourage people that if they are afraid or nervous or whatever, to go and do it anyway. When I did the Accused book, for example, literally 2 weeks after it was released, President Obama released that they were doing a commission on sexual assault on campus. So when I was writing that book basically a year before, you know what I mean, getting it ready, I didn't know that the White House was going to convene a commission on sexual assault on campus across, you know, on campuses across the nation. And so I just want to say, like, you know, if you have an idea, somebody else might have something that's going to help what you're doing come to life. And that has been in my career, you know, I'll go out and I'll, you know, come up with an idea. Even the blueprint for my girl, you know, when I wrote that book, there weren't a lot of nonfiction books for teens. And I have 100 rejection letters from agents who are like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. This isn't even a genre. You know, I literally have 100 rejection letters. But when I went out and started selling that book out of my trunk and at the Harlem Book Fair in different places, 6 months later, I had a book deal from Simon & Schuster. So
wow.
I want to encourage people to, if you have an idea, follow your idea through. There's a reason that you have that idea, because someone needs to, you know what I mean, see it.
Yeah.
Someone's waiting to hear your story or read your story.
And I do want to chat a little bit about your filmmaking. How did you make that transition? Because I was reading your media kit and some of your information, and you know, it's incredible. You know, you've won awards for your film that was based, I believe, on retaliation or inspired
mm-hmm.
by. You mm-hmm. also have, you know, worked with, you know, your own web series, is that correct, with the Yahoo TV,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
Worked some on film projects with, I think it was the Do It Yourself Network, and Cannes, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So how did all of this come into being?
Well, again, I always do a go with the flow sort of scenario. So how my very first film, Can She Be Saved, which, you know, got into like 20-some festivals and it won like 3 film awards, it was a big deal for someone who was basically a writer, sociologist, right? I was so happy with it. But let me tell you what happened. I received a call one day from a counselor, a guidance counselor from Syracuse, New York. And she's gotten a hold of retaliation. She calls and she says, Ms. Shiraz, I'm a mediation counselor, and the girls up here are reading your book and they're not fighting. And I was like, what? And she was like, well, you know, I deal with mediation. The girls, you know, fighting our arguments in school, and they have gotten full of retaliation and they are just reading it and whatever. Would you come up here? And, you know, of course, people normally pay me to come up. And I said, listen, you know, they didn't have any money. And I said, listen, I said, if I can record what is said so that I can share it with other young people across the world, I will come. And she said, okay. And I said, I have, you know, I got to get some release agreement signed from you guys, but let's do it. And she said, okay. And literally probably 4 to 6 weeks after we had that first phone call, I went up to Syracuse and basically shot my first film. I did not know what I was doing, okay? Be clear about that. But the thing of it is that if you watch enough movies and you write enough stories, doggone it, you know, and you pray enough, something's going to happen. And
yes.
So literally, that's how Can She Be Saved? And it's really rough. I mean, it has, I don't know, probably 75 fight scenes in it, maybe 50. It has a lot because that's what girls were doing. But the thing of it was, is I was able to talk to these 8th grade girls who loved retaliation, and they saw that I came in and I wanted to hear what they had to say. What they had to say was important. And so they were so open to share with me, and I was able to then create that film to share with other people, and people got it. So that was like that's, I'm telling you, is like the greatest blessing of, you know, of my career. I feel that I didn't know what I was doing, but I didn't let that stop me. And I said, ladies, if you will allow me to record your story so that I can share and it might help somebody, let's do it. And so when the film then opened at, like, Newark High School, and they have, like, 1,500 students, and they hold 3 assemblies so that everybody sees it, that's when you go, oh, my goodness, people get it. And then they go to the city of Newark, and they say, okay, the mayor says we're going to have a community meeting, and everybody here is going to see this film.
Wow.
It was just
that's incredible.
Beyond. Yeah, so that's sort of, you know, winging a prayer, just, again, going with the flow, because someone, you know, picked up the phone and said, hey, we're reading your book. And from there, I shot a short film about a girl bully, and I went to Hampton University. And one of the things is I'm a member of, like, you know, different Hampton alumni clubs on LinkedIn. And so I put the trailer up. This is a true story. I mean, people, when I do my bio, my life story, no one will believe it. I'm serious. They're going to be like, she is such a fiction writer, okay? But I put the trailer up on LinkedIn. I tell you, 2 days later, a guy emails me from the Department of Mental Health in D.C. and says, I just saw your trailer. We have a grant that deals with teen suicide. Would you consider doing a film for us? I swear to you, this happened to me. never had a grant. I did not have a nonprofit organization. This is a true story. Called me out of the blue because he had went to Hampton, not even at the same time that I went to Hampton. We weren't like, you know, classmates. He essentially saw it and said, will you do this? And he, you know, he started looking at the work that I did with youth and was like, this is perfect. That then became not only a short film that I did for D.C. Department of Mental Health on teen suicide. They then funded a web series where I did like 6 episodes on talking to teens who either have thought about committing suicide or have had friends who have attempted suicide, all because I put one link on LinkedIn. I'm telling you, it's like I'm telling you, it's incredible because, like, I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. Life is—it's so funny when I tell this story because I'm like, I can't even believe it sometimes. And so that happened, and then going to Yahoo, helping them with the show, I had flown out to LA and wanted to get a little bit more film experience in Hollywood, if you will. Literally was here 6 days and started emailing different people, hey, I want to do some different things or what have you. My resume caught an eye of someone, and they called me and said, hey, I want to interview you. And literally 6 days after I got out to L.A., I was producing for Yahoo. It's just, you know,
I need to sit near you because whatever you got, I wanted to rub off on me. That is incredible.
You know, I'm telling you, and then from there, I went back home. I have a home in D.C., and I wanted to continue my film work close to home. My daughter was, like, in high school. And I said I wanted to, you know, help her with what she was doing. And, again, sent out my resume to someone, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, we want to work with you. And so I ended up producing 3 seasons of a show for the DIY Network. So I just literally, while at the same time, guys, producing 6 webisodes for the D.C. Department of Mental Health. And so I just keep going. I just, you know, I follow my heart, and if I feel like it's something good to do, I just do it. I just really, I just go for it.
Do you do the filming, the actual camera work, or are you more directing, or?
Well, I can do the camera work. I can do camera work, and then I want to share the one thing about the film also. I can do camera work. I generally don't do camera work, but the thing of it is, and I'll share this. I used to do a tour on college campuses called "How to Get into the Entertainment Business," and one thing that I'm a big advocate of is getting as many skills as you can. So I'm the type of person, like you guys go, oh, so what do you do when you're not writing? Well, you know what? I might be in a film class. I might be in a screenwriting class because, you know what, but that sort of work. But I'm one of these people who, like, is a writer's writer, but I've had, you know, 3 film classes. I've had editing classes. I've had photography classes simply because I want to know how this stuff works. Not that I want to become the cameraman. I just want to be able to understand what they're doing. And so
right.
I'm someone who probably technically could do a lot of different things. And so, but let me share the you know, one of the films that I was script supervisor for a film called Charlotte. And what happened was I was in D.C. and I had just doing research. I'm always doing research on what people are doing. And I said, you know, I want to show people that I'm a team player. So it's not all about whatever I wrote, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I want to support other people. And so I hear about this young female director out from Baltimore, but she's in L.A., and she's coming home to Baltimore to shoot a young adult film about 2 girls who this teen girl is sort of just learning about her sexuality, and she's attracted to a girl of the same, you know, a same-sex situation. And, you know, I know through the work that I do that there's a lot of young people who are struggling with how they feel and their interaction and so forth. And I literally sent an email to the producer or what have you and said, hey, I want to support this young director. I didn't come in there like, oh, I've won awards, oh, I'm so-and-so, oh, I've had all these bestsellers. No, I didn't do that. I came in and said, I want to support her. What can I do? And they were like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, hey, I'm a screenwriter. I'm going to be the script supervisor. Ladies, I hadn't script supervised nothing. Okay? But, y'all, I'm serious. You know, like I said, when I write my memoirs, people are going to be like, she's making this stuff up. But I am not. So what I did is after I told them that I wanted to be the script supervisor, I then looked up what a script supervisor was. Okay?
I love it. I love that.
And so
you've done it once,
so,
you've done it.
Exactly. And so I was serious, and I mean, I was serious. I was out there with my clipboard, my pencil, my pen, like, yo, what y'all doing? And you wouldn't have known, you would not have known that I had never done it before. And I just for folks who don't know, I would like to share really quickly. A script supervisor is someone, say for example, a scene is being shot in a movie, and you shoot part one of the scene on Monday and part two of the scene on Tuesday. Say for example, the main character has on a green shirt on Monday, but on Tuesday they have on a red shirt. The script supervisor goes, "You need to change your shirt because people are going to know we didn't shoot this on the same day." So a script supervisor is someone who saves the director from looking crazy, right?
Oh, okay, like a content editor, you know, or
absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely. They
very
sometimes
cool.
call them continuity editors, but that's exactly right. But I remember being on set with this director, and I was like, you know, everything is flowing, everything's good, the lighting is good, the actors are doing good, and I tapped on the shoulder. I said, "Yo, Angel, she got on the wrong outfit." The camera person gives me a death stare, like, her again? She keeps with her comments because there were so many errors. But here's the thing. I went out there and I said, y'all going to hate me, but when it's all done, you're going to love me. It got into the end. And she hugged me, the director, at the end of the shoot. She said, "You saved me so many times. I can't thank you enough." And so after that, she's like, "Please tell me when you want me back in L.A. I got 3 projects I want you to work on." So I don't go in with, "Oh, I'm so-and-so." You know what I mean? I go in humbly, "How can I help? How can I help you? I just want to help you look good. What can I do?" And so that's how my film career sort of started, of just doing some of my own stuff, but then wanting to help people too.
That's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Unbelievable. It's probably a little unbelievable.
No, I believe you, but it's just so cool. Love that. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, now when I, you know, talk about like helping with the Charlotte film, I mean, it's such a proud moment because, again, ladies, I had never been a script supervisor before. And I mean, I literally went up on Google, looked it up, and I said, I'm going to be the best script supervisor that anybody has ever seen. And I took it seriously. I was like, listen, when they were reciting lines, I would elbow the director and I'd go, "That's not what's on the script." That's how seriously I took it. So
I
they
love
were going to have to tell me, they were going to tell me to chill out, but they weren't going to tell me that I wasn't thorough enough.
I love
they
that.
They could tell me I overdid it, but they weren't going to tell me I underdid it.
I love it. I love that you are so inspiring, and I think you're giving so many people that are listening, you know, just to know to just follow their hearts and to take that chance, you know, to go out, you know, to go for that risk, go out, do it, go for it, and I love it. Thank you. Oh, my goodness, so much for doing this.
And to try. And like I
love
said,
that.
I'm going to meet with the director like on Friday, this upcoming Thursday actually. And like I said, you do a good job. People don't care that you don't have the experience. Do a good job, and they want you anyway. It doesn't matter that, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter that I didn't have 10 script supervisor credits. They know that if I come in and I show up, I'm going to do the best job I can to make that person look good. And then when they go and they realize, wow, she does this, this, and this, then they love you more because they know you ain't in there with your ego.
I love that. Well, oh, my goodness, thank you so much, Yasmin. We are down to time now, and I know Jamie's going to lead us out. But there's just so much I want to ask and chat with you about. We haven't even touched base, Jamie and I, on so many things. So you are welcome back anytime. But I'm going to pass it to Jamie.
Okay.
We do want you back. We want you back. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, Jamie. Go ahead.
So where can everybody connect with you to keep up with your new books and stuff?
Okay, my website is yasminshiraz.net. So that's YASMINSHIRAZ as in zebra.net. And my books are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, iTunes. My first audiobook even for exclusive came out this year. And so I'm even narrating an audiobook. I had so much fun doing this.
Oh, goodness. Well, again, Yasmin, thank you so much for joining us. And, I'm not just throwing that out, that we really do want you to come back. There's so much that we would like to chat with you more about, more about books, what else is coming up, just more about your speaking engagements and just the work you do with the teens. So, please, we do want to set a time for you to come back. But until then, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And you have a wonderful weekend. And, Jamie, how can everyone touch base with you?
I have everything linked on my website, jamielwhite.com, JAMIELWHITE.
All right. And, guys, there you have it. Please make sure, everyone that's listening, that you go out and show some love for author-director Yasmin Shiraz. And please grab copies of her books and connect with her out there on social media. And thank you again for taking the time to chat and join us. And we hope you have a wonderful weekend. Why? Because you deserve it. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.